listening to the KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, April 13, 2016. I'm Laura Palmisano. A measure that would pave the way for students to take medical marijuana on public school grounds passed the House Agricultural, Livestock, and Natural Resources Committee this week on a bipartisan vote of 10-3. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The bill would require schools to allow a parent or caregiver to administer medical marijuana to a student during school hours. It must be in a non-smokable form, such as patches and tablets. Jenny Storms has a son with cerebral palsy. He was suspended for using medical marijuana last spring. She testified in favor of the bill, along with other families frustrated by the current system.
He lost his therapies. He was punished. And he didn't do anything. I'm the one who did the mistake.
And since I can't give the cannabis on school grounds, my son has to miss a lot of school.
Under current state law, school districts can create medical marijuana policies, but none have done so. The Colorado Association of School Board Executives testified against the bill. They worry allowing medical marijuana would risk federal money schools receive. Supporters say the measure would help about 300 students who need the medicine for pain, spasms, and seizures. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
A bipartisan bill that would help pay for cleanups at legacy mining sites in Colorado is making its way through the state legislature. It would set aside $100,000 in an emergency fund managed by the Colorado Department of Natural Resources. Republican Representative Don Corum of Montrose is co-sponsoring the measure. He says it would provide some money towards an initial response to a hazardous situation.
If there's something out there that's contaminating waterways, they can get immediately started because they have some funding to work on it right away rather than let the disaster get a lot worse.
Corum says the Gold King mine spill near Silverton last year inspired the legislation. It's one of hundreds of abandoned mines in the state. He thinks the measure has a good chance of becoming law. A proposed bill from Congressman Scott Tipton would swap oil and gas leases in the controversial Thompson Divide for leases in Delta County. A similar lease swap was previously championed by environmental groups, but those organizations are now condemning this new plan. KVNF's Jake Ryan sat down with Alex Johnson from the Western Slope Conservation Center to find out why.
So I guess the basic idea with the Thompson Divide, it's very, very controversial, especially for the organizations and the people living in that area. And with the amount of concern and uproar that's been made about them, the leases there are in danger of being completely invalidated. And a compromise, a sort of a lease swap to avoid that messy situation has been talked about for a long time and brought up by multiple elected officials, not just Representative Tipton, right?
From our perspective, this is a third process that's just begun with the Thompson Divide. It's become a very messy situation indeed. The original process was a proposed lease exchange that various stakeholders in the Thompson Divide area, as well as in the North Fork watershed and Delta County, discussed with Senator Bennett's staff regarding an exchange that would include a significant permanent protections, conservation protections for both Thompson Divide and for Delta County. This new proposal really has nothing to do with that lease exchange at all. That was the first process, was this lease exchange proposal from Bennett. The second process was this the BLM lease cancellation process, that these leases are contested based on the NEPA or lack thereof as they were issued. So there's the potential that these leases are illegal and will be invalidated. So it's really appalling to see Representative Tipton now proposing to basically exchange these contested leases with brand new leases. Likewise, there was a large amount of work from various stakeholders to create a reasonable exchange plan that would include significant permanent protections. And none of those protections, neither for Thompson Divide nor for Delta County, are included in Tipton's proposal.
And that is what you see as the key difference between, say, Bennett's and Tipton's lease swap proposals, is the built-in protections in Bennett's?
Yes, and it goes one step farther. Tipton's proposal actually includes language that would allow the exchange to circumvent the very basic standards of protections, and the process evaluating the environmental impact would be null and void and not included in Tipton's proposal. Of course, that is not the case with Bennett's and was a basic expectation. And it's also a part of BLM's process as well. I highly doubt that Senator Bennett would provide any sort of support for this proposal. And that would really, Senator Bennett's support would be essential for this bill to move forward in Congress.
Well, Alex Johnson, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jake.
That was Alex Johnson with the Western Slope Conservation Center speaking to KVNF's Jake Ryan. The U.S. Geological Survey is continuing to study the connection between oil and gas development and a string of earthquakes in central states. USGS Director Suzette Kimball spoke to a Senate committee on the issue last week. Inside Energy's Dan Boyce has more.
Director Kimball spoke to the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee following a new report highlighting parts of the country at risk for human-induced earthquakes. The USGS says these quakes primarily come from the underground disposal of waste water after oil and gas drilling is finished. Colorado is listed as one of the states most at risk for human-caused quakes, along with Oklahoma, Kansas, Texas, New Mexico, and Arkansas. A significant rise in earthquakes has been seen in these states in the last 5 to 6 years. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
Law enforcement agencies across the state are cracking down on impaired drivers. It's part of a spring DUI enforcement campaign. The Colorado Department of Transportation says the campaign coincides with spring break, graduations, outdoor festivals, and the start of baseball season. CDOT says about one-third of traffic fatalities in the state each year are related to impaired driving. Stepped-up DUI patrols will continue through May 15th. You've been listening to the regional newscast on KVNF. I'm Laura Palmisano.